This is On Point. I'm NPR media correspondent David Folkenflik. We're going behind the headlines of this week's top stories. In a few minutes, we'll talk about a couple other stories. Attorney General William Barr denies bail to asylum seekers. And President Trump vetoes a bipartisan push in Congress to end U.S. involvement in Yemen's civil war. What are your reactions? What are your thoughts about these things? We're at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. You can also follow us on Twitter and find us on Facebook at On Point Radio. And we'll return to our reporters' roundtable in a few minutes to talk about those stories. But first, with us now from Brunswick, Maine, is Independent Senator Angus King of Maine. He sits on the Senate Intelligence and Armed Services Committees. To be perfectly transparent, he typically caucuses with Democrats. Senator King, great to have you with us.
David, glad to be with you.
So if I'm not mistaken, the Mueller investigation, in fact, the investigation authorized by then FBI Director James Comey, started as a counterintelligence operation. You sit on the Intelligence Committee. What did we learn from the Mueller report publicly that we might not have known before?
Well, I think, of course, the Mueller report's basically divided up into two pieces. One is on the whole collusion, cooperation, conspiracy issue. And the second part is on the obstruction issue, which ironically grew out of the initial investigation. I think there's one point that the Mueller report makes very clear, and that is, and this has been, you know, sort of a conspiracy theory and a lot of discussion, particularly on the right, that somehow the whole counterintelligence investigation into the Trump campaign was illegitimate, and it started with the Steele dossier. And the truth is, it started with a guy who was working in the Trump campaign, talking to the ambassador of Australia and saying the Russians have dirt on Hillary Clinton, and you know, the combination of being in the Trump campaign and that Russians have dirt, and then very shortly thereafter, there was a big dump of hacked emails. That's when the FBI took the steps to say, wait a minute, this is something we've got to look into and we have to take seriously. So that's where it started. The Steele dossier didn't get to the FBI until something like September. This was in July of 2016. So that's the kind of detail that's in here that I think is going to be important in the ongoing discussion of this whole matter.
You're on the Senate Intelligence Committee. There was a report, I believe, yesterday by Politico saying that your chairman, Richard Burr, the Republican of North Carolina, had essentially briefed the president and the White House at some days after receiving what was to be confidential information, which was surprising to learn. You know, it seemed as though your Democratic leader, Mark Warner of Virginia, and Senator Burr have worked together hand in glove, and there was not the kind of collaboration between the Republican lawmakers on your committee that you had seen on the other side of Congress over in the House, where Devin Nunes had come under a lot of criticism for being essentially an ally of the president in all this. What do you make of what we've learned about Chairman Burr's activities?
Well, I want to get more detail. It was the first I'd heard of that. It's concerning, obviously. It was very early in the process. I have to say, you know, I meet with Richard Burr twice a week for 4 or 5 hours, and along with the other members of the committee. It's inconsistent with the way he's conducted himself pretty much throughout this investigation. So I want to understand it better. It's concerning if it happened. But the question is, was it an ongoing cooperation with the White House, or was this an aberration? And I hope it's the latter. And obviously, it's something we have to talk about in the committee.
What do you see Congress doing next? Obviously, Democrats control the House, Republicans control the Senate, and yet there is this question looming. The special prosecutor mentioned the notion of oversight, mentioned the notion that Congress could take it up with impeachment, although he's noted a couple other possible legal paths as well. What's the right thing for Congress to do at this point?
Well, I do think that there are still some open matters that need to be examined. And our committee, by the way, the Senate Intelligence Committee, has not completed our work. We've interviewed over 100 witnesses, thousands of pages of testimony, and we're still following up on some of these matters. One of there are two things in the collusion part of the report that struck me as sort of undefined. One was Paul Manafort, according to the report, on more than one occasion supplied polling data and information about the campaign to a guy who was identified by the FBI as having connections to Russian intelligence. This was in August and September of 2016.
And, of course, Manafort was, for a stretch, the chairman of the campaign.
The chair, exactly. And so my question is, what was he sharing and why? Because anybody that's been involved in a campaign knows that polling data, you know, the public hears polling data and they think, well, that means Trump was up by four, Hillary's up by six. No, polling data has things like which issues are working in which states, and the extent of the detail, to me, that would have been very significant in terms of guiding the Russian efforts, which, by the way, the report makes crystal clear the Russians were behind these efforts of disinformation and release of hacked emails. But the fact that that polling data, I was not satisfied with the provision in the report that I felt didn't examine that in sufficient detail. The other piece is there's a lot of redaction in that section that appears to be the Roger Stone material. It says in a pending matter, and that's it looks like it's Roger Stone. And I want more clarity on that in the sense that he appears, and again I'm saying appears, to have been a potential connection between the campaign and WikiLeaks. And to me, that's a dot that hasn't yet been connected. For example, the very day of the Access Hollywood tapes, remember the devastating tape of the president getting off the bus? Within hours of that, WikiLeaks dumped a huge amount of John Podesta's emails. Was that just a coincidence, or did somebody call and say, we need some help here?
It's time to create some havoc for the Democrats, right?
And to me, that was such, and I want to know more about what Roger Stone's role was, what kind of connections he had with Donald Trump. And that's all redacted in the report. And I think that's something that needs to be, we need to understand that better.
Senator Angus King of Maine, thanks for joining us to answer our questions today. Sounds like you have a few of your own. Appreciate it.
Oh, I do have a few of my own, and I think there are also the questions of obstruction of justice, which we didn't get to. The Mueller sort of passed that over to the Congress. Bill Barr intercepted the pass and concluded on it, but I don't think he was correct. But the question now before us is, what do we do? My view is we wait until the elections of 2020. That's the ultimate people having the say over who they want as their president.
Senator Angus King of Maine, thanks so much.
Thank you, David. Bye-bye.